Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC. Excited once again to bring you our latest edition of the show that we call Russell on the Move. And, you know, we're really moving this morning because I'm on fire this morning. I'm really excited with my special guest who you're going to learn about in just one moment. But I do want to remind you that we had a great show last week. Brother Deacon Scott Love was with us. President, CEO of the Local Initiatives Support Corporation, known as LISC. He's also President Emeritus of the Deacon Board at St. Stephen Church. And he's just a good brother. I call him Brother Love because that's his name. And you can, if you missed that show, you can go out and find it out on our website at LCCCnews.org. We've got the blog post and the podcast that you can find. If you missed that show, go check it out. You know, and so far, Brother Love holds the record because according to the analytics, his show got more hits than anyone prior to that show. But I got a feeling, like James Brown said, I got a feeling that today's show is going to exceed that because I'm so excited to have in the studio with me today my pastor. And I'm going to start there because he holds many titles. The Reverend Dr. Kevin W. Cosby, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen Church, President of Simmons College of Kentucky, the fastest growing HBCU in America, and the only HBCU that has been resurrected under his leadership in the world, is here with me. He holds many other titles. I call him the GOAT because he is the greatest educator of all times, not only in the gospel ministry, but also in just, he's a historian. There's not too many people that know Black history more than this brother here, Kevin Cosby. And I'm so glad you're here. Good morning, Dr. Cosby.
Well, thank you so much for a very gracious and kind introduction. An honor to be here. Grateful for your great work and LCCC, the work you're doing. And you've always been at the forefront of positive transformation, not only in Russell, but throughout the city. It's an honor to be with you, my brother.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you so much. Also with us is my co-host and dear friend, Herbert L. Johnson. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. You know, we're going to get right into it because this show, we've got a lot to unpack in the first 30 minutes. And then after the 30-minute mark, we're going to open up the lines to get our listening audience to call in with questions or comments. And you know this number here is 502-571-1240, in case you don't know. And we want you to call in with your questions or comments. But Dr. Cosby, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy week to stop by. And it's tradition on this show, not that you have to be introduced or that you have to give your bio, because if people don't know you, that's on them. Because your work is trending around the country. But just to keep with tradition, would you mind giving just an introduction of yourself, just a brief biographical sketch, and go back as far as you want to go. Just let people know, who is Kevin Wayne Cosby?
Well, let me give you, as preachers love to alliterate, maybe four or five P words that capture who I am. First P word is person. I am a person who is a native of Louisville, Kentucky. Reared for the most of my life in West Louisville, and all my adult life I have lived in Louisville. So I'm proud of that. My personage is rooted in not only Louisville, but West Louisville. Secondly, I am a partner, that's my second P word, to Barnetta Turner Cosby. We've been married now for 44 years. Third P word is I am a parent of two adult children, Christine and Kevin. Fourth P word, I am a pastor. I have served as the pastor of St. Stephen Baptist Church for 44 years. And my fifth P word would be president. I am the president of Simmons College of Kentucky.
That's beautiful. P to the fifth power.
P to the fifth power.
I love that. And Doc, thank you for breaking it down that way, because certainly your family is near and dear to us, Sister Barnetta, Sister Christine, and Brother Kevin are near and dear to us. And you come from a big family, you know, the Cosbys, yeah. Well-known throughout America, and just so blessed to have you here. You know, we were intrigued by a lot of things, and there's so much that we could talk about. This 1 hour won't do us justice, but one of the things we want to focus on today is, as a student of your leadership and your ministry and your scholarship, I read the book, Getting to the Promised Land, and there's a subtitle that talks about Black America's unfinished business as relates to the civil rights movement. I'm paraphrasing on that. So we wanted to just have our listening audience learn more about that work, and just tell us about Getting to the Promised Land and some of the fundamental arguments that you bring forth in that are all about empowerment and addressing and redressing our past still plagues us as Black America to this day. Can you just talk a little bit about the book?
Well, first of all, thank you for reading the book. You're an avid reader, and it's very obvious that you are, and that's why you're such a profound leader. Leaders are always readers. But the basis of the book is the last speech, which many consider to be one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s greatest speech, that he gave on April the 3rd in Memphis, Tennessee, the day prior to his assassination, in which the memorable phrase, "I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the Promised Land." And of course, he was tapping into the whole Moses motif, in which Moses led the children of Israel to the outskirts of Canaan, but he himself did not personally get to the Promised Land. And that's what King was saying, that it's not about the me getting there, but it is important that the we get there. And if the we get there, then the me will get there. My basic point is that although King said we would get to the Promised Land, we have not yet gotten to the Promised Land as Black Americans. And for Dr. King, the Promised Land meant, and this is a phrase that he used, especially during the last 2 years of his life, full equality. And by full equality, he's talking about economic parity. Because the Promised Land for King was not, as many would believe, what we would call now diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It is not, quote unquote, the social integration, mm-hmm. or as Professor Harold Cruz would say, non-economic liberalism. Mm-hmm. For King, the promised land meant the right and equal distribution of wealth, resources, and power. Unfortunately, we were derailed from King's vision of economic empowerment through the co-optation of black leaders into the mainstream of American life. The best of our people got siphoned away from the rest of our people. The brilliance of Dr. King is that he began his public service to the black community really December the 1st, 1955, when Rosa Parks sat down on that Cleveland Street bus. And then he concluded his service 13 years later, working with the poor and the disinherited. So from the beginning of his public service, he was with the marginalized in Montgomery. At the end, he was with marginalized sanitation workers in Memphis. So he never abandoned the poor and the disinherited. That's what I love about King. Unfortunately, many leaders after King got co-opted into the system, got severed from their people. The best of us was taken away from the rest of us. And we are only going to survive when the best of us is an advocate for the rest of us.
Amen.
So the purpose of the book was to show that we have not gotten to the promised land. And we will never get to the promised land until there is economic justice. Black Americans, the descendants of chattel slaves in this country, represent 13.6% of the population, but yet we control less than 3% of the wealth. That's disparity.
Big time.
And until we close those gaps, and it is public policy that created the gaps, and it must be public policy that must close those gaps. So the purpose of the book is to highlight that we what the promised land is, to define the promised land. I think another point in the book is who are the people that should get to the promised land.
So on that first point, because I'd like to drill in on that, defining the promised land, because we heard Dr. King say loud and clear, he went to the mountaintop and he looked over and he saw the promised land. And he admitted that he may not get there, but he knew it was out there. And Doc, in your own way, define it. What is the promised land for Black America? What is the promise that we have been held back from?
Well, if the metaphor of the promised land is a biblical metaphor that is found in the book of Joshua, really Joshua's chapters 1 through 6 talks about Israel invasion into Canaan. Then the promised land for Joshua represented something specific, something tangible, something measurable, something quantifiable. It is not something mythic and ethereal. It is assets and resources. They literally, as a people, were entered into land, and land is wealth, it's resources. So if the biblical idea of the promised land was actual resources, for King, he felt that the promised land was economic viability and economic empowerment of black people, a people who have experienced injustice. Now, I have the word injustice is a nine-letter word. And that's interesting because that nine-letter word injustice reflects why we are not in the promised land. So if somebody's listening and taking notes, then this is what injustice means. Each letter is a letter which reflects how public policy has hindered black people from getting to the promised land. And it is critically important that black Americans and America knows why black people are bottom cast. And it has to do with those nine letters. The first of the nine letters is I. That's the first letter in injustice. And that is our image. Mm. The image of black people has been desecrated. We are considered inferior. And that image was used to justify our enslavement. So image in injustice. Second letter is narrative. The story of black people has not been truly told. J stands for Jim Crow. U stands for urban renewal or Negro removal, it's also called.
Yes, that's right. Exactly what happened to us on Ali Boulevard and Russell and throughout.
No, S, everybody should know what S is. I mean, if it, you know, and that is the greatest crime ever committed against a people group, and that's slavery. 246 years of slavery. T, it stands for terrorism or lynching. I stands for incarceration. C stands for cops or slash courts. And E stands for economic exclusion.
Mm.
And that is the that injustice is the reason why black Americans are not in the promised land. And that is a result of public policy or politics. Harold Laswell from Yale University has the classic definition of what politics is. Politics is a fight over resources.
Mm-hmm.
Politics determines who gets what, when, and how.
Mm-hmm.
And to quote Yvette Carnell, politics is always an exchange. For your vote, you're supposed to get resources. Unfortunately, we have not gotten resources because of the lack of political sophistication and education. So that's getting to the promised land is attempt to remedy those nine
injustices
that have been visited upon us.
Those things that have held us back. And so that's you've really defined what the promised land is. It is all about accessing economic, the promise of America, you mm-hmm. know, the land of milk and honey, you know, the land of opportunity. Everything that this land promises has been withheld from us.
Mm-hmm.
But in your book, you, not only do you define it, and today you defined it, but also you talk about who, when King talked about, you know, we're going to get there, who is he referring to? What people, as you frame it in the book, what people is the promised land intended for?
Well, the we, and when King said we as a people, he was talking about the American descendants of slavery.
Amen.
And that is critically important because prior to 1965, most people know that you have the Voting Rights Act that was passed. But you also have the Immigration Act that was passed that opened up the country to Asians, to Haitians, to Caribbeans, to West Africans. So it was a landmark piece of legislation. Well, there are people who come to the country from the Caribbean or from Haiti or from West Africa, from India, from other countries. They may have our same skin color. They do not have our same lineage. They do not have our same experience. Prior to 1965, all blacks in the United States, well, put it like 99% of all blacks in the United States could trace their lineage back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
99%.
Mm-hmm.
So the group that built the country, whose free labor, unbequeathed labor built the country, whose culture is foundational to the culture, pop culture of the United States, whose advocacy, political advocacy, brought democracy to the United States. Because without the advocacy of black people, we would not have democracy. We had skintocracy, but not democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And 99% of the people who were black could trace their lineage back to slavery prior to in 1965. In fact, as late as 1980, 90% of all blacks in this country could trace their lineage back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would challenge people to go online and look up Patrick Daniel Moynihan's memo to Richard Nixon that came out in 1970. And he said in response to quote-unquote black militancy that the country must engage in what he called, as it relates to black issues, benign neglect. In other words, be kind, be nice, don't be overtly racist, but neglect the issues of the former descendants of slaves. And he also said that we must begin to tap into the social and economic issues of other groups besides blacks.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a shift away from the redress of black Americans. In fact, what is important for black people to know is that it was not just the civil rights movement that was dealing with feminism or LGBTQI issues or immigrant issues or those who are physically challenged. While we should be concerned with those issues, we believe that every person should have justice.
Mm-hmm.
But the civil rights movement was about the redress of the injustices that was imposed upon the American descendants of slaves. But we shifted away from black redress to diversity and inclusion. All one has to do is go back and listen to what I believe is the greatest speech ever given by a president of the United States. And that was President Lyndon Baines Johnson's speech in June of 1965 at Howard University, in which he specifically is talking about how we must redress the injustices of black America.
Got it right there. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to leave it in my queue.
Okay.
Leave it in my queue. Doc, I want to ask you one more, maybe a couple more questions about the book. Then I'm going to talk about some other things. We're going to talk about St. Stephen. We're going to talk about Simmons and a few other things. The book, two things with the book. We want to sell the book. I bought it twice. I bought it on Kindle, and I bought it on Audible, because I like to write and listen to it. I'm in my second listening session right now.
Oh, thank you.
And so we want our listening audience to know that you can go out online and purchase this book. I just pulled it up here. Let me pull it back up. Getting to the Promised Land. You can get it out on Amazon. And I'm going to tell you the price here in a second. But it's right there. If you like it, like me, I like digital stuff. I got a hard copy too. The hard copy piece I like for trophies, because I want to get me a hard copy just so I can get your autograph in it. And so, tell our listening audience how to go about finding this book.
Oh, well, I know you can go on Amazon.com, and forgive me, because my daughter, who is not with me, who's my brains, helps on my website. I think there's kwcosby.com or something like that, where you can order it also.
Okay, kwcosby.com. You can actually get it, that's because I got credit, so I was going to tell people the wrong price. It says I can buy it for $7.74, but that's because I got credits. You're probably going to pay a little bit more, but you can get it online at amazon.com. And on your website, which is kwcosby.com. So check out the book. And the other thing I want to get to, I love the fact that
Dr. Cornel West wrote the foreword for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I took the class at Simmons,
Radical King.
The Radical King, yes, yes. And I had a chance, first time in my life, to interact via Zoom with Dr. Cornel West.
Yes.
And I was so glad I had that experience and so glad that he wrote the foreword. And I'm so glad that he's running for the president
yes.
of the United States.
Yes.
And so I'd love to our listening audience to get your take on Dr. West as a candidate for the United States president.
I love Cornel West.
Now, you're not endorsing him. Just give your opinion.
No,
we say that only because
I'm not endorsing him. I just say that everything that Cornel West articulates, he is in the tradition of radical politics. Martin Luther King. I just love the man, and I love him because he is an advocate not simply for working class but hurting class.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a part of the duopoly of politics. And I think that this political duopoly that we have with the Democrats and Republicans, who oftentimes cater to the corporate wing. So while there may be differences, and there is in terms of social policies, in terms of economic policies, in many instances,
mm-hmm.
both parties are too beholden, I think, to the corporate wing of their party and not the working class. And that's mm-hmm. why you have what you have with the strike with the United Auto Workers. And so Cornel West has consistently been a voice for marginalized people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he is he's a breath of fresh air.
And he's so brilliant.
He is absolutely. His memory just fascinates me. He was at St. Stephen's Church about 2 or 3 years ago. And I never forget, we had talked and the specific anecdotal details about our conversation he still remembered. So he has a photographic memory. It's just, I was just amazed.
Yeah, Dr. Cornel West, and is it the Green Party?
Yes, the Green Party.
Green Party, he's a candidate for, and I certainly pray for his success, and he'll warrant a donation from me for sure, and he ought to be a part, if he don't win it, be a part of the cabinet, because nobody embodies black intelligence and his spirit more so than him. He's just so conscious, and he cares, and he loves. I love his love for love. He just loves people.
He really does.
And I really appreciate that. Herbert, I know you want to get in with a question or two with Doc before we take a break.
Yes, I'd like to, first of all, you know, thank Doc for being here. It's been the first half hour. It's a lot of education, man, for the community.
Well, thank you, and, bro, Herbert.
I got an old saying, Kevin, you know, education is a vaccine that we need in the community, you know what I mean? So it's always important. But the word injustice, I never heard it broke down, you know, the nine different things about each letter in injustice. But I'm just gonna say to you something that I heard 30 years ago from my father-in-law. He told me that Kevin Cosby was leadership that this community needed. And so I'm glad to be sitting here, which is, you know, talking about some of the issues. And I will tell you that he was right. You know, you know Reverend Hodge, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Over the years. So, you know, he's like a brother, and you like a brother. And I will tell you that he's right on, man, when he told me what he told me about you when I'm, you know.
Well, Herbert, I appreciate that.
All right. So, you know, God bless you, Reverend, man. Hodge. I appreciate it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's family. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, so appreciate, you know, everything that that you do in the community, you know what I mean? So
thanks,
I can't say it. I can't ask the question that you probably couldn't answer about the community, but I just want to say from him and his family, you know, thank you, man.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
All right.
And folks, if you just tuned in to Russell on the Move, we're in the studio with Reverend Dr. Kevin W. Cosby. Have spent a good segment here talking about the book Getting to the Promised Land, and we want to invite you to be a part of the conversation. We're going to take a break in just a moment, but when we come back, the lines will be open,
And you can call into the studio here at WLV. That number here is 502-571-1240. And I like the fact that, you know, we're giving information that is empowering. So as Doc suggested, if you don't have your notepad out, get it out, because there's going to be a few more jewels of knowledge shared when we come back after the break. So we'll see you in just 1 minute.
Amen.
Louisville Central Community Centers is celebrating 75 years of service to the community. LCCC is officially announcing the 75-year challenge and pledge. Join in the celebration and pledge your support by donating $75 today. Your donation goes directly to support the families we serve daily. Mail your donations to LCCC, 1300 West Muhammad Ali, 40203. Call 502-853-8821 or log on to LCCCnews.org.
Are you ready to make a real impact in your community? Look no further than AmeriCorps Vista's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project at LCCC. Become a Vista Community Impact Ambassador. Become a catalyst for positive change. Picture yourself working hand-in-hand with local leaders, organizations, and residents to empower the Russell neighborhood. As a Vista volunteer, you'll play a vital role in creating lasting solutions to address poverty and inequality. Your dedication will help build a stronger, more vibrant community for everyone. Make a difference, make connections, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Join the AmeriCorps Vista team at LCCC's Russell Neighborhood Capacity Building Project today. Visit our website at lcccnews.org. to learn more and apply. Be the change you want to see in the world. Become AmeriCorps Vista Community Impact Ambassador, where your passions meet action.
All right, folks, welcome. We were having fellowship during the break, but welcome back. This is Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC, and just enjoying the moment with Reverend Dr. Cosby here. I want to remind you that our lines are open, and you can be a part of this conversation if you want to. Just pick up the line, dial the seven digits, 502-571-1240, and give us your question or comment. But keep in mind, this is my pastor. And come correct. I'm going to tell you that up front. I'm going to be nice, but come correct. But come on. We want you to come. Come. Don't sit back. Jump into this conversation. Again, the number is 571-1240. We're going to continue the conversation. And Pastor, I'm just so excited that you're here, because there's so much that we can touch on that I think will help to empower our community. And one of the things I know that is full of opportunity for empowerment is Simmons College of Kentucky. I know that's your baby. Mm-hmm. I know that's your passion. Talk about the opportunities and what's happening, kind of the current events. What does our community need to know about Simmons as of this moment?
Well, first of all, thank you for asking. And when I first introduced myself, I gave some P words. And I said, person, partner, parent, pastor, president. So it is one that gave birth to the other. Okay, it's the person that gave birth to me as a partner that gave birth to me, or gave birth to my children as a parent. It was St. Stephen Church that really helped to give birth to the renaissance that's taking place at Simmons College. What is happening at Simmons, without question, is the greatest institutional comeback story when it comes to higher education in the history of the United States. We don't know how significant and monumental it is, because we're so close to it that we don't see it. But Simmons as an HBCU is the talk of the HBCU community. They just have this week a conference in D.C. I didn't attend, but some of my colleagues at Simmons attended. And the big issue and the big topic was Simmons College, because of how Simmons has emerged. Mm-hmm. Simmons is 145 years old. Mm. And at one time, it was the only black college in the United States.
Wow.
That was black owned and black operated, that had a medical school and law school.
Mm-hmm.
for 51 years, it was practically the only school blacks could attend in the state of Kentucky if you wanted traditional advanced liberal arts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kentucky State was founded after Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a public school. Simmons is a private school. But until 1936, Kentucky State, for the most part, right, had a teacher's component of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was it's a land-grant college focused on agricultural and industrial education.
Mm-hmm.
Simmons taught the black professional class in the state of Kentucky. So the foundation for black professionals was Simmons College. The mm-hmm. doctors, the lawyers, the clergy, it all was taught by Simmons was the school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a law that was passed in 1904 in the state of Kentucky called the Day Law, after Carl Day, who was a racist legislator who targeted Berea College in Madison County, and whose purpose was to create segregated education.
Mm-hmm.
And it was passed in 1904, reaffirmed by the United States Supreme Court in 1908. So from 1904 to 1930, the only school blacks could attend in terms of tax-paying blacks could attend was Simmons College of Kentucky if they wanted classical liberal arts education. Enough of the past. We are back on the scene, back on our campus. Mm-hmm. We lost our campus to the University of Louisville due to racism in 1930. They took our campus, converted it into their segregated division called Municipal College. But we got our campus back. Buildings built by enslaved people.
Praise
so
God.
Whenever you drive past 7th and Kentucky, those buildings were built by black women who were formerly enslaved, 1908. And the other building, Stuart Hall, was built by enslaved people. Charles Parris Sr., for example, his name is on the building. His son was a professor there and would become the first black professor
mm-hmm.
at the University of Louisville and the first black professor in a major university in the South. But Simmons earned accreditation in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And after we were accredited, we applied for HBCU status
mm-hmm.
and was granted HBCU status. To become an HBCU, there will never be any more HBCUs. Simmons was the last designated HBCU in American history. And mm-hmm. there will never be another one, because in order to be an HBCU, you had to be in existence prior to 1964. Simmons traces its roots back to 1879. And so it's a remarkable story
mm-hmm.
of the school is growing. This semester, we had our largest enrollment
wow.
since my 18-year tenure there. And we're—
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. We're attracting students from 28 states and bringing constant revenue from the federal government to the city of Louisville. So every year we get an infusion of money that comes to this city, millions of dollars that come to this city that the black community needs to tap into.
And needs to know. And so the economic impact of Simmons, I don't know if enough of us know what we need to know. And I'm not talking about not only black Louisville, but Louisville proper, the entire city needs to know. Can you speak about the economic impact of Simmons in this?
Well, HBCUs are economic engines, because they attract not only federal dollars, but they attract students and to your city. Louisville right now is hemorrhaging because of the exodus of black and white professionals out of the city of Louisville.
Right.
Simmons is reversing that trend and bringing black professionals, not only students who bring money to the city, but PhDs, who have moved from various places across the country to relocate into Louisville. So we've got this wealth of black brilliant intellectual capital that is being assembled at Simmons College. For example, Dr. Jamar Tisby. Now, I hope you can interview. If you want to interview somebody, interview Jamar Tisby, whose book is a New York Times bestselling. He's a New York Times bestselling author. So But he moved from Mississippi to Louisville, Kentucky, and to be a part, a historian at Simmons. He's renowned. I believe that over the next few years, you're going to see, that's Jamar Tisby, you just pulled him up. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a lot of changes in Louisville and in the black community. It's happening right now because of the role that Simmons College is playing. And Indianapolis may have the Colts and may have the Lilly Foundation, but they do not have an HBCU. And they never will. Cincinnati may have the Bengals, but they will never have an HBCU. Lexington may have Big Blue Nation, but they will never have an HBCU. Only point, right of the decimal point, 0.0008% of the cities in the United States has a historical black college or university. Mm-hmm. And Louisville is one of them.
That's a huge blessing for this community. And I know you've got a lot of student opportunities, a lot of student affairs happening. I read your post the other day about the Falcons taking on the Cardinals in basketball, right?
Yes, yes. On the 18th of October, Simmons plays the University of Louisville.
Ain't that something?
Is that right?
Yeah. You know, this second time. I was second there the first time.
Yeah.
And the first game we played them, we had the Cardinals beat. I'm with you.
Yeah.
So I say the Falcons had the Cardinals beat. Yeah. That's the only time I've rooted against the Cardinals. Well, two times I rooted against them when they played Western Kentucky and Simmons. But we had them beat first half that first game. And I think this year, how's the team looking this year?
Team is looking real well. They did. We were bringing almost everyone back, got some new players, and they went far in their tournament. I think they were third. They came in third. They went to the semifinals in the tournament. And the team that went far, for the most part, is returning back. So, but the miracle is that when I went to Simmons, Simmons was an unaccredited Bible college that no one knew about. No one knew about the history of Simmons on 18th and Dumanil. Mm-hmm. It was primarily a school for ministers who were in a second career or bivocational. But now Simmons is accredited HBCU. We had no buildings when I went there in 2005. Now we have 14 buildings, teacher education program, master's degree in medical science, which is the equivalent of your first year in medical school. And we've got a great band that's expanding, traditional HBCU band, and a sports team that is playing the University of Louisville. I mean, I want you to think that a school that it was known for, 77 years in this community as only a theological school that had no accreditation, now is fully accredited, HBCU, and is playing
U of L in the Yum Center.
U of L in Yum Center.
Oh, wow. the passion there is just awesome.
I mean, you know, you can say what you want, but that is remarkable, and only through hard work, through sacrifice from a team of people, and because of those who preceded me not giving up on Simmons.
Yes.
When the University of Louisville took over our campus in 1930 and started Municipal College in 1931, they mandated that Simmons could only teach theological education.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest thing I had to do when I first went to Simmons was to get black preachers to think of Simmons the way the founders thought of Simmons.
Amen.
So in 1873, when they got the charter to open Simmons from the state of Kentucky, this Articles of Incorporation in 1873, 8 years after the end of the Civil War, when only about 5% of blacks were literate in the country because of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we want to start a university, not a trade school, not a Bible college, but a university, if you read the charter, mm-hmm. that would be able to teach law and medicine. Now, that is visionary.
It is visionary.
In 1873. And unfortunately, many of the ministers could only think of Simmons in a very limited way.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have Simmons to catapult to what it's doing now. And
it's phenomenal, Doc. And the leadership, though, your leadership, the leadership of your predecessors, from the founders on until today, the leadership of Simmons has made the difference. And I'm just reminded of the field trip you and I had. You know, you remember that? We got in the car and just rolled around, looked at a few things, and we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you got a few minutes today, I got some stuff I got to show you that's on me that I need to share. But I remember we went over to the campus on Dumanil, and we walked around. We were doing a tour. You were giving me the history of the building and what was happening at the school. And
Russell's name is on the building.
Yeah, we went up front. That's where I was going. We went up front and looked at the founding placard that's still on the building. And William Simmons, founder.
Mm-hmm.
First president.
Second president. Really the first president for all practical purposes.
Yes. And so I remember his name. And then Harvey C. Russell, the guy who the Russell neighborhood is named after. Harvey Clarence Russell is on there, too. And it just, we have to be reminded that it takes leadership, black leadership, to continue this journey.
Right.
To get to the promised land.
To get to the promised land.
Yeah. Because we're still working on it. Talk, Doc, about your most recent educational feat, the PhD, and what does that mean to you and to the rest of the world?
Well, Simmons has had 13 presidents, and I'm one of the two that was blessed to earn a PhD. Believe it or not, the first one was Robert Diggs in 1908. He had a PhD,
mm-hmm.
and our President Diggs was the first black man in American history to earn a PhD in sociology. So I finished my PhD. I started working on it right when COVID started, and I said, so that gave me the freedom to go and pursue it, and I completed it about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and we're going to take a moment to take this call, but I want you to tell us a little bit more about the study and what the, you know, the final dissertation that you presented and defended. Caller, welcome to the show. Give us your name, question, or comment.
Good morning, Brother Kevin. This is Brother Frank. And good morning to your guest, Dr. Kevin Cosby. I have followed him on all the work that he's done in the city of Louisville and as far as bringing education that we really need back to the city of Louisville and all his other endeavors. Pastor Cosby, I'd like to also commend you and thank you for the partnership with Johnson County Public School as far as the EVOB 502 program.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
And I've been trying to spread that news as much as I can and let people know that you have partnership with that. So our young people coming up out of high school can further their education with right here within the city of Louisville. And I've been letting them know that the program is free, really, basically. I mean, you know, to get basically almost a two-year degree free. And come out and not have to owe anybody any type of loans for going to school. And from my understanding, you know, some of the classes and everything they take, they can come out and really get a job right off the bat in certain fields that you offer. And when I seen the list of the classes that you offered, I was really, really amazed, you know, that you offer, other than, like you said, other than just ministerial classes. And the semesters are also, my understanding, transferable to University of Louisville. And then I also, when I went to a program this a couple of weeks ago at the Norton Health Whatever Center, they're also partnering with University of Kentucky, I think. So
absolutely.
Those be transferable. So you're doing a great job, and I just like to commend you on that. And if you have a little time, you know, maybe if you can expound on that EVOB 502. But thank you again. I appreciate it.
Hey, Brother Frank, thank you for calling. And I need to speak with you. Give me a call or come by the office. I've got something for you that I need to talk to you about.
Thank you so very much.
Okay, brother. Okay, okay. Bye.
Thank you for bringing that up. Thank you for your because I didn't comment on that. But you're totally right. If you are a graduate of a Jefferson County high school, you can attend and have your tuition paid for by Evolve 502 at Simmons College the first 2 years.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. That is amazing.
You know?
Yes.
So your first 2 years will be covered if you graduate. And if we don't have the degree that you can get your associate's degree and then pursue one of the degrees that Simmons has. But let's just say, for example, we don't have the degree that you want to pursue at Simmons right now. Well, you can transfer those credit hours to the University of Louisville. You can go on to the University of Kentucky. So we're partnering with all the other universities. Louisville, and I think it has to really sink into the mind of our city, that Louisville has an accredited with the United States Department of Education HBCU here, right in its backyard. And we, like I said, we're having students from 28 states that are coming. Now, they can't get the Evolve 502 scholarship, but if you are a graduate of a high school in Louisville, you can.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. Brother Frank, thank you for calling in, and thank you for being a listener. We really appreciate you, and I look forward to hearing from you real soon. So, Doc, just take a minute and tell us about your dissertation.
My dissertation was on how to infuse what's called the Black radical tradition at Simmons College of Kentucky. It's not enough for us just to be open. I think we have to educate students to be committed to Black power, Black advocacy, helping Black people get to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to Simmons, your education will unapologetically be dipped in chocolate.
Amen.
I like that.
Unapologetically.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
You will know who you are. You will know the injustice across it. You will understand why Black people have been marginalized. So it is our education is antithetical to the education that DeSantis and others are trying to promote, which is, to quote Cornel West, a deodorized version of American history. You're not just going to learn about George. You're going to learn George Washington through the lens of the Black experience. You're going to learn about his slavery, about his enslavement, his pursuit of a runaway slave to the day he died, named Ona Judge. Okay, you're going to learn about not only in your head but in your heart.
Yes.
So my dissertation was, how do you infuse that into?
And it's so needed, and it's so timely that would be your dissertation, Doc. Because we talked briefly at the last Empire West Forum. I applaud you for taking on that issue of how do we address this pushback, the Supreme Court pushback, against affirmative action and anything related to Black progress. And so, we're at that juncture in our history where, we're really going to be butting heads here, Doc. And so how do we not go backwards? How do we, because the push is real. This anti-woke, anti-DEI, pushing back on affirmative action, all these things are happening right now in America, in high places, the U.S. Supreme Court. So how do we not get pushed back?
We have to rebuild, reconstitute, and strengthen Black institutions. We went from segregation to desegregation to integration to disintegration. We should have gone from segregation to desegregation to reparations to reconciliation, which is totally different than integration. Because the social integration was a one-way movement of Black people out of Black space. And we lost our fundamental institutions. We lost Soul Train so that everybody could go to American Bandstand.
Yeah.
And I believe you need Dick Clark. I applaud Dick Clark, but you need Don Cornelius.
Amen.
With
Amen.
Love, peace, and Soul Train. Okay, and until we get Soul Train back, a Soul Train that is distinctively, you know you're watching Soul Train because of the culture. And that's what Black Institutions is. Black Institutions is three C words very quickly: the culture, the concerns, the control. And until we have, you know, LCCC, it's a Black institution.
Yes,
why?
Sir.
Black culture, black concerns, concern,
black control.
Black control.
Yeah.
And until we get our institutions back, like strong black churches that are part of the black radical tradition, social justice churches, strong black families, black media, black businesses.
That's capable. Keep on. Come on.
Black schools like Simmons, black fraternal and sororic organizations like the Masons and the Deltas and the Kappas and the Qs and the Alphas, and black empowerment organizations like LCCC, NAACP, and the Urban League. If you don't reconstitute those seven institutions, we're through. You cannot raise eagles in chicken coops.
Amen.
And the reason our kids and our people are floundering is because we don't have those strong institutions that help to develop black excellence.
Amen, amen, and thank you, Doc. This is certainly a power hour, and there's so much more I'd love to delve into. But I just want to say thank you, Doc. Herbert, we got, you know, time for a few closing remarks. I want to come to you first with your closing comment, and then I'm going to close out with Doc, and then we're going to close out with announcement. I just want to say thank you, Doc. This has been powerful.
It's been an honor to be with you, man, you and Brother Herbert.
I echo the same, Kevin. Powerful, and thanks a lot. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, bro.
Right, brother.
Any closing remarks, Dr. Cosby?
Support LCCC. Support what Kevin Fields is doing. It is foundational to the development of West Louisville, and man, you've got my support. I appreciate the great work that you're doing. Go by, support, and let's help resource it.
Thank you so much, Doc. Appreciate your support, and I appreciate you. I appreciate all that you do at the Church of St. Stephen. We love our church. You've built a church like no other in this nation, and we love you. We love your church. We love our church. And I love your love for our people and for black culture and for black institutions. I love that. And just want to say thank you for being with us today. Folks, well, I want to close with just a few quick updates. Today is the last show for the month of September. So we're going to kick off October next week, and October is Economic Mobility Month at LCCC. Economic Mobility Month at Old Walnut Street. And because it is, we're going to announce today the seven events that are happening at Old Walnut Street throughout the month of October. And you'll get a chance to hear from who's driving those events as we get into some upcoming shows. But please know you're welcome to be a part of Economic Mobility Month at LCCC. It kicks off on the 3rd of October with the Purpose-Driven Developer Academy 2.0 Awards Ceremony and Pitch Competition at 6 p.m. on October 3rd. That's a Tuesday. We have 12 cadets that have went through 10 weeks of training on how to develop real estate. And you'll get a chance to hear from them, their testimonies on how they've been empowered and enriched and the kind of projects that they're going to be taking on going forward. On the 10th, we're pleased to be the host site for the second year for the Equity in Contracting and Purchasing Task Force Matchmaker event presented by MSD. You'll get a chance to, you know, last year's event, some 300 people showed up. You get a chance to hear from all these purchasing people, city government, and all the agencies looking to contract with suppliers and other people that are looking to do business. That's a great
day for entrepreneurs to show up. That's on the 10th at 4 p.m. On the 17th, we've got a visit presented by the Rotary Club of Louisville of a group out of El Salvador, the El Salvador Friendship Exchange, presented by the Rotary Club of Louisville at 2 p.m. on the 17th. Then on the 20th, the big day for us is the 7th Annual West Louisville Economic Mobility Summit, where we'll be focusing on food insecurity beginning at 11:30 a.m. The same day, we're doing the 3rd Annual Sam Watkins Light the Way Entrepreneur Excellence Award beginning at 4. And then we've got a couple of more events that you're going to learn about in upcoming weeks. But, you know, we've had a great three quarters of 2023. We're going to be closing out the final quarter of this calendar year with high impact. So stay tuned. That's going to do it for this week's show. Until next week, stay blessed, be safe. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly affairs update on Russell and surrounding neighborhoods in West Louisville. We hope you enjoyed our show and took away news you can use to help lift your spirits and increase your prosperity. Join us next week as we continue our mission, equity advancement and community empowerment. For now, be safe, be blessed. Until we meet again, the LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.